My name is Aika Dare. I grew up in a religious family. Even though we would regularly attend church every Sunday, our lives did not reflect a relationship with Christ. Back then, our family had problems. My dad, Tatay Ching, was unemployed, addicted to drugs and gambling. Because of this, we lived miserably. But God, in His goodness and grace, moved in our life when my dad received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We saw how he repented from his sins and pursued a life that would glorify God, which eventually led our family to Christ. My dad's passion and heart for service encouraged me in my spiritual walk. Whenever we would encounter trials as a family, he became my constant reminder that God will never leave nor forsake us. In February 2016, I was diagnosed with acute myelogenous leukemia, a type of cancer in the blood. When I heard the diagnosis from my doctor, I was devastated, but it was my dad's trust in God that reassured me. At the hospital, my dad would always wake me up early to have our daily devotion. We would sing songs to God even though I felt weak. He showed me what it meant to trust in God. After months of confinement, my health did not improve. I had more infections and complications to the point that my doctor told my family in secret that I only have about a month to live. As my health deteriorated, hardship came in my life when my boyfriend of 5 years died in a car accident. When I heard about it, I was broken into pieces. 7 months after John's death, when it seemed that things can't go any worse, we learned that my dad also had cancer. It was worrisome to know that it is now the both of us who need to be taken care of. I worried about how we are going to make ends meet and where will we get the money for both our treatments. But more than that, he was my source of strength, and seeing him suffer as he fought for his life was more difficult. I thought of giving up. But my dad reassured me once again that God is with us. After 2 months of battling cancer, he passed away. It was my God's grace that I was able to respond well when I heard about my dad's death. Despite the series of heart-wrenching loss, I remembered being grateful to the Lord for allowing me to experience all of that in a span of 1 year. It was through trying and life-changing times that I felt His presence overflow in my life and learned to depend on Him. I also knew, as my dad would teach me, that eventually God will use these things in my life so people will be led to Christ. It was in January 2017 that I started attending in CCF. The Lord ministered to me when I heard the wife of Pastor Ricky Sarthu, Miss Aggie, share her life experience with battling cancer. After that, I decided to regularly attend and join a small group. It was in that community that I was able to share my life story with others, hoping that through it, they will find encouragement and hope. I was also blessed when my life story was featured in MMK. When they showed the episode, thousands of people started to message me. I took advantage of that and shared Christ to them, hoping that in their trials, they will seek the Lord. By God's grace and goodness, I am now almost 3 years in remission. I am thankful to God that He used my life as a platform so people can find hope and encouragement, even in the most difficult situations. To God be all the glory.
What's the message last Sunday? Serve God. You remember? You cannot serve two masters. Serve God. Well, today is a continuation of Matthew chapter 6. It's about worry. Do not worry. For example, I did the research in Google. What people worry about. Would you like to know what people worry about? From the States to the Philippines, all over the world. Here are the common denominators. Can you guess? Perhaps That's part of your worry. Number one, money. How do I pay my bills? How do I pay off my debt? Is that your worry? Okay. Next, they worry about health. They worry about their family's health, from cancer to all kinds of sickness. They worry. They worry about their career, their future. And if you are single, they worry about getting married. Will I have a life partner? And those who don't know Jesus, they worry about how to get out of marriage. And those of us who are believers, praise God, we are married and happily married. But the truth is, one of the number one worry is death. They are afraid of dying. Are you afraid of dying? You know, Jesus is so amazing. The more I read the Bible, the more I'm so amazed at the genius of Jesus. One of the reasons why I believe in the Bible is what you're going to learn today. Look at what Jesus tells us. What's the message today, everybody? Let's read. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Can you tell your neighbor, don't worry? God will take care of you. Now, there's a big difference between worry and concern. Concern is not a sin. In fact, concern will energize you to take precaution. Concern is valid. The Bible talks about being concerned. Jesus tells us, who among you, when he wants to build a house, when he wants to build a tower, does not compute the cost? It's okay to think ahead. It's okay to be concerned. The Apostle Paul said, I'm concerned for the welfare of the churches. So concern is okay. But when does it become worry? Concern is when you do something about it, you do it to the best of your ability, and then you leave it to the Lord. That's valid. That's concern. It provokes you to take preventive action. That's good. What is worry? Worry is you are not only concerned, you always think about it, morning, noon, and night. You are not able to sleep. You are not able to entrust. There is fear. There is anxiety. Therefore, it becomes your preoccupation. You lose your energy. You are so fearful. It is now becoming from concern to worry. Worry is when you leave things out of God's hand. Worry is when you try to take things under your control, but the truth is you cannot control everything. Concern, you control what you can control and you leave the rest to God. Worry, you control what you cannot control and you try to control what you cannot control. Then you begin to worry. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, or your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do you know of any king? Do you know of any dictator? Do you know of any government? Do you know of any president that will issue a law that makes it illegal to worry? Do you know? Do you know of any religious leaders that will tell their people it is a sin to worry? I don't know. Only in Christ. Only God tells us, do not worry. Do you know the grammar of this verse? If you study the Greek language, this grammar is very emphatic. It says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. Do not be worried can be translated as follows. Oi, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Meaning, they are already worrying, just like you, just like me. And God is saying, stop worrying. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. And I discover something about God. When He issues a command, it is always for our good. Let me repeat. When God issues a command, it is not to make you unhappy. It is not to restrict you. It is for your own good. They've discovered worrying is bad for your health. Have you heard of Dr. Charles Mayo, the famous Mayo Clinic? According to Dr. Charles Mayo, people do not die because they work too much or they're overworked. They don't die. They die because of over-worry. The solution is this. Learn to meditate more about God and medicate less about worrying. We take a lot of pills. We eat a lot of medicine to overcome worry. Medication is not the cure. It's meditation. You think properly. So how do we think properly? Everybody, let's read this verse one more time. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Okay. Every time you see the word, for this reason, what must you do? It can be because. Therefore, you must read the previous verse. What is the previous verse? Everybody, let's read. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus is saying, no one can serve two masters. He is not saying it is difficult. He is not saying it is hard. He is saying it is impossible. You cannot serve two masters. Because you cannot serve two masters, you should choose one. And He's telling us, you must serve the right master. You serve God. If you don't serve God, you become insecure and you begin to worry. Therefore, He's saying, because you cannot serve two masters, only serve one master. And who is that master? Jesus. God. And not money. You cannot serve God and wealth. In some of your translation, it is mammon. The word mammon is the name of a pagan god, a Syriac god, meaning money, wealth. You cannot serve money or serve any other thing without worrying. Why? Because money cannot guarantee you security. Money cannot give you safety. Only God can give you security. My friend told me what happened to his friend. His friend flew from the States to come to the Philippines. Why? To collect inheritance, to collect dividends worth almost 300 plus million pesos. When the guy came from the States to collect the money, 1 week later, before he could collect the money, he went to the hospital, boom, died before he could collect the money. My friend, money cannot give you security. I heard of another friend of my son. He did such a successful business venture. He made over $500 million, not peso, dollars. He told his partner, protect this money, guard it carefully. His partner remitted this money to the Middle East because their business in the Middle East. To discover, after a while, that country where he remitted the money is under blacklist by the other Arabic countries. He could not touch the money. The money is trapped. My whole point is this. If you serve other things, you will be full of worry. Think about it. You will not find security. That's why Jesus tells us, no one can serve two masters. Therefore, everybody now read, for this reason, I tell you, do not be worried. Do you understand the connection? If you don't serve God, you serve something else, you will have reason to worry. So the only Bible teacher, the only scholar, the only Savior, the only God, the only leader that I know that makes worry a sin is Jesus. So my friend, are you worried? Tell your neighbor, do not worry. God will take care of you. You know, it's one thing to tell people, don't worry. The problem is, how do you not worry? So he gives you reasons why you should not worry. Number one reason, he tells you, look at the birds of the air. Look, you're going to learn something. What can you learn? They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know what Jesus is saying? Look at the birds of the air. I take care of them. Do not worry. God will take care of you. You know why? God is our Father. I never understood the power of this truth, that God is your Father, therefore He will take care of you, until I became a father. And then I got involved in CCF. Then I saw many, many young people, singles, married. They all have problems. Not all, but many of them have problems with their parents, especially with fathers. And they cannot relate to this verse. Don't worry. Your Father will take care of you. You know why? I discover many fathers are not responsible. I discover many fathers are irresponsible. And because of your past, you may have a hard time not worrying. So Jesus is saying, don't worry. God will take care of you. You know why? God is your Father. Can you tell your neighbor, don't worry, God will take care of you. Now, if you have a hard time understanding that, he tells you, look at the birds. Everybody, how many of you have never seen a bird? Raise your hand. You know, I was asking Jesus, why did he choose the picture of a bird? I discovered something. Do you know bird is always singing? After a heavy rain, after a typhoon, what do you hear? The birds will be what? Singing. Have you seen a bird worried? What will I eat? No. And I praise God. One of my friends, Raymond, he gave me the following pictures. These are all Philippine birds, understand? And many of them are uniquely found in the Philippines alone. Look at the birds, the pictures that he took this personally, okay? Look. Do you know what kind of bird this is? Blue Cape Kingfisher. When I say endemic, many times only found in the Philippines. That's why it's called endemic. What about this bird? Hooded Pita. Birds are not lazy. They get up in the morning and they work. So when the Bible says don't worry, the Bible is not saying be lazy. Birds don't open their mouth and say, give me worm. They don't do that. My friend, if you're lazy, you should worry. Be like a bird. Work hard, but trust God. Now let me ask you, how many of you worry? At least you are worried about one or two things. Raise your hands. Okay, those of you who raise your hands, may I remind you are committing a sin. It is the most committed sin among Christians. We give excuses after excuses. We don't realize God commands us, be anxious for nothing, do not worry. Why? Because worry is a very serious sin. You are telling God, I don't believe you. You are telling God, I don't trust you. You are telling God, I don't believe you are good. You are telling God, I doubt you. So do not think worry is a small sin. It is serious. And that's why it's good to listen to the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. A true Christian will understand God is his Father. God is our Father. So the Bible tells us, look at the bird. By the way, you want one more bird picture? All right. This is called olive back flower pecker. Amazing. In the Philippines. Some of you cannot see this. You know why? Because we live in Manila. What birds do you see in Manila? Sparrow. I have verses about sparrow. You know, sparrows, look at what the Bible says. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Sparrows are so prevalent. They are so cheap. 5 for 2 cents. In other words, it's less than 1 cent per bird. Do you understand? It's so cheap. And yet, what did Jesus say? Look at these birds. Not one of them is forgotten before God. God takes care of birds. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Ladies, how many hair do you have compared to men? Is that why God loves you more? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, what about those guys with no hair? God still loves you, okay? No problem. But the point is this. Do not fear. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. God is saying, if I take care of the birds, why are you always worried? Think about it. God is telling you today, why are you worried? Look at the birds. So may I suggest, if you begin to worry about your future, your job, your career, Jesus is saying, don't worry. I will take care of you. If you don't believe him, look at the birds of the air. Then he tells us, you are more valuable. This is what you call the argument from lesser to greater. If God will take care of sparrows, so cheap, so common, will he not take care of you, his child? You are a child of God. You are precious. Look at the Bible, what it says. Everybody read. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with Jesus freely give us all things? Friend, do you really believe God loves you? He loves you so much, he gave you Jesus. If God gives you Jesus, and he died for you, why will you not trust him for other minor things? If you are willing to entrust your eternal soul to God, why don't you trust him, your temporal body, for him to take care of you? And my friend, many Christians fail in trusting God. That's our root problem. We don't have joy. We don't have peace. We're always fighting. Why? Because we are always trying to control events. Because you don't trust God the Father. When I became a father, I began to understand how much God loves me. I have 5 children. I love all of them. And if I can love my children, and I'm a sinner, I love my 5 wonderful children. How much more God, my Father who is in heaven, the perfect Father, how much more will he take care of me, will he take care of you? Friends, think about it. Some earthly fathers love their children, but they don't have money to take care of their children. Not God. Some earthly father love their children, but they are incapable because their physical sickness. They have limitations. But God is without limitations. So God is saying, don't worry. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Did you sing that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you like that? Those words? Everybody, you want to sing with me? Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush and worry so. Together. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be so. They have no heavenly father like the one who cares for you and me. That's the problem, why I am not a song leader. You understand? I make up my own song along the way. If you are worried, will you sing this song? I have another song for you in a short while. What's the message today? Everybody, what's the message? Don't worry. God will take care of you. You know, some people do the opposite. Why pray when you can worry? No, no, no. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Do you know there was a bishop? He's full of worry. This is a true story. A bishop, he's always worried that he will get sick. Because worry is universal. He was worried that he's going to be paralyzed. So he began to mumble. You know what's paralysis? You don't feel anymore. He began to mumble, oh no, I cannot feel, I cannot feel. And then the lady who was sitting beside her, Your Honor, you are pinching my leg. If you don't get the joke, you have a problem. It's not a joke, it's a real story. I could not feel, I could not feel. He was not pinching his leg, he was pinching the girl's leg. Of course he cannot feel. Oh, gising na, okay? Some of you keep worrying and worrying and worrying. The Bible says, which one of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? In other words, worry is useless. Tell your neighbor, worry is useless. Not only useless, it's bad for you. Why? They've discovered when you worry, your cortisol level goes up. When cortisol goes up, it affects your immune system. It affects your digestion system. You develop ulcer. It develops high blood pressure. And that's why more people die, not because of problem, because of worry. So when God says don't worry, it's for our good. So what he's saying is this. How many of you by worrying can make your life go longer? You can't. It's totally useless. Worrying is like sitting on a rocking chair. It gives you something to do. But it does not bring you anywhere. And some of you love to worry. You know you love to worry? Because you worry if you don't worry. Am I correct? Don't worry. Stop worrying, okay? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies, the word lilies in the Greek can also mean flowers of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. God is saying, look at the birds. Look at the lilies. They are not as valuable as you. I take care of them. Look at the lilies. Or look at the flowers. Are they nice? Wow. You know, according to Jesus, he says, I say to you, not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. God is saying, if I take care of the lilies, and you think Solomon is rich, the lilies dress better than Solomon. And then he says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know what God is saying? You are more valuable than the birds. You are more valuable than the flowers. They're only temporal. They grow today. Tomorrow they are used as stuff for burning. You are more valuable. Why are you worried? The heart of God is saying, why don't you trust me? So he tells you, our problem is this. Will he not much more take care of you, O ye of little faith? You know, this word, O ye of little faith, was used by Jesus 4 times. Every time it is used, it talks about don't worry about death. Don't worry about life. I remember when the disciples were on the boat, there was a bad weather, and they were afraid. Jesus said, why are you afraid? Oh, ye of little faith. When Peter was drowning, he was afraid. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, I'll take care of you. When the disciples were arguing, food, who will give us bread? Where will we eat? Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. You know why? Faith is the key to solving the problem of worry. But I submit to you, the root problem of worry is not always faith. The root problem of worry, yes, lack of faith, but the reason why you lack faith is because you don't know the Lord. So the root problem of worry is you don't know the Lord. Think about it. You tell people trust God. I tell you to trust God. Why would you trust Him? You don't know Him. I tell you today, trust Jesus. Why will you trust Jesus? You don't know Him. That's the difference between true Christian and counterfeit Christian. A true follower of Jesus knows the Lord. He knows He's faithful. He knows He is loved. My friend, you know the Lord. If not, you cannot trust Him. It's normal to be afraid. But when you are afraid, it's a trigger. Boom. I must trust Him. So when you are concerned, boom. It's a trigger. It tells you, misplaced. Your trust is misplaced. You are trusting circumstances. You are trusting people. You are trusting your company. Don't trust others. Trust God. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, when I am afraid, notice when, from time to time you become afraid. It is not a sin, but you got to process it. What must you do? I will put my trust. Do you see what I'm saying? When you are afraid, it's a trigger. Why are you afraid? Ah, I am focusing on problems. Put my trust in Him. If God, whose word I praise, notice, anchored on God's word, I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. Do you notice something grammatically? Trust, afraid. If I am afraid, I will trust. Solves the fear problem. If I trust, I will not be afraid. In other words, in your heart today, you can have fear and trust at the same time. You can have worry and trust at the same time. If you worry, that means you don't trust. If you trust, you will not worry. Are you worried? If you are, the solution. You process it. I will transfer my focus on circumstances, on my problems. For example, do you know singles, what they worry most, singles? Singles, wave at me. Singles, just say hi to me. Singles. You know what you worry about? You worry about the future. Will you ever get married? I am telling you, you are so blessed if you are single. You know why? Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Of course, you don't know what you miss. I'm married happily. But some people, I better be careful with my joke because I was warned. I don't want you to think marriage is bad. But the truth is this, without Christ, people worry how to get out of marriage. They want to get out. People who are out of marriage, they want to get in. Ang gulo-gulo talaga ng tao. My friend, don't worry. God will take care of you. Amen. So what must you do? When you're afraid, what must you do? Trust. And then when you trust, you don't have to be afraid. Question. How do you grow your faith? How do you trust? How? No shortcut. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, no shortcut. You want to grow in faith? What must you do? Everybody? Read the Bible. How many of you have read the entire Bible? Raise your hands. Higher. Higher, higher. Put it up. Higher, put it up. Because I'm looking at some people who have not raised their hands. Now, you young people here, why don't you commit to read the entire Bible next year? If you commit to read the entire Bible next year, you see us. Enroll your name. I'll give you a gift. Seriously. Last week, 2 weeks ago, somebody came to me in our Bible study group. Peter, finally, I read the entire Bible. We all clapped. You know why? When you read the Bible, you will come to know Jesus more. You come to know God more. What makes you think you will grow spiritually without reading the Bible? What are you thinking that you can come to know God without reading the Bible? Is that what you are thinking? You can know God just by coming here on Sunday and not reading the Bible? That's not possible. I try to read the Bible, and I read the Bible once every year. Now I'm in the last part. I read the Bible every day as much as possible. There are times I miss, but I read the Bible almost every day. I meditate on it. Every year, I go through the Bible. Why? I want to know Him. Jesus loves me. I want to love Him. How do I love Him? Read the Bible. How do I know what He wants me to do? Read the Bible. One more time. I want you to make a commitment to read the Bible. If you want to be a healthy Christian, you want to please God, you've got to read the Bible. Coming here once a week is never enough. Are we communicating? Okay. What's the message today? Don't worry. God will take care of you. Let's read. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He tells us other reason why you should not worry. The Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. The pagans, the unbelievers, they run after money, food, clothing, shelter. But, he said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's saying, don't copy the unbelievers. Why? They don't have fathers in heaven. You have a Father in heaven. Don't be like them. Don't be a Christian atheist. Who is a Christian atheist? You claim to know Jesus, but you act as though He doesn't exist. You have no joy. You have no peace. Why? You are a Christian atheist. Who is a Christian atheist? They claim to believe in God. They claim to believe in Jesus, but you act as though He doesn't exist. He says, don't be like the Gentiles. Why can you and I trust God? Why? Why? Why can we trust Him? He's our Father. Whose responsibility is it to take care of children? The Father. Do you know of any baby worrying? Mommy, I'm gonna go hungry. A baby. Does a baby worry? Yes or no? You ask yourself, when did they begin to worry? At what age did they begin to worry? You know, I discovered worry is something learned. The day you began to see your parents worry, the day you began to see your classmates worry, you begin to worry. You see, when you were born into this world, you have a childlike faith. You believe somebody will take care of you. But as you grew older, somehow you experience realities of life. You begin to worry. My friend, I'd like you to go back to childlike faith. Don't worry. God will take care. Say it with me. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Amen? So, He tells us not to worry. Look at the promises of God. Everybody read. My God will supply. What does it say? Some. My God will supply many. No. My God will supply almost. No. My God will supply louder. All. God will supply all your needs. All. According to His riches. According to His riches. Not yours. His. Let me give you an illustration of how God can supply all our riches, all our needs, based on His riches. Do you remember our sharer? Her name is Aika. Her father was problematic before. The father had cancer. She has cancer. Her boyfriend of 5 years passed away. And yet she survived beautifully. Why? Her faith is in God. He will supply all of your needs. Notice, let's read this one more time. My God will supply all your needs, not wants. See the difference? Needs versus wants. If God knows you need a car, will He give you a car? Yes. But don't insist on Mercedes-Benz. Understand? Does God know you need a house? Yes. But don't insist on a palace. But can God give you a palace? Of course He can. If He wants to. Let's find out how God supplies. Are you familiar with the story of Elijah? When there was a famine, and God told Elijah, Elijah, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Stay there. I've commanded a widow to take care of you. God told Elijah, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be no water, no food. You go to a foreign country called Sidon, and there a widow, a poor widow will take care of you. You know, Elijah must be thinking God has a sense of humor. Why will he go to a widow? God says he will take care, she will take care of you. So he went. And when he saw the girl, the widow, he asked, can you please give me food? Why widow? Let me tell you why. Widows in the Bible are the poorest of the poor. They don't have social security. They don't have government support system. A widow is left alone. No more husband. So who will take care of her? That was her predicament. God told Elijah, you go see this widow. Elijah did. And Elijah told her, give me some food. Give me some water. You know what the widow said? The widow said, sorry, sir. I have no more food. I have no more water. In fact, this is what she said. She said, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son. Then we may eat and die. You see, she said, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. She's saying, I'm so poor. I have nothing to give you. Do you understand her situation? Does she have to worry? Yes. She's worried about her child, the son. Who will take care of him? Who will take care of us? Where will we eat? That's her problem. And now she has additional problem. Elijah said, feed me. Look at her predicament. Elijah said, do not be afraid. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. Bring it out to me and answered, and afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. In other words, Elijah said, look, I know you don't have bread. I know you don't have enough flour, but make one cake for me first. In Tagalog, how do you describe Elijah? Kapal. Hirap na nga eh. Abusado mo pa. You know, God is teaching Elijah something. When I ask you to do something, you do it. God is teaching this widow something. You trust. You know? This widow, you know what she did? Before she did it, Elijah gave her the word of God. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Everybody read. The bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day the Lord sent rain. In other words, God was telling this girl, listen, your bowl of flour and your jar of oil will not be consumed. Trust me. Do what I want you to do. Now, if you're a girl, what will you do? You look at the bowl. Problema ito. It's only good for one person. You look at the jar. No more oil. What will you do? My God shall supply all your needs. You know what she did? Remember, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Well, let's find out. She went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. Everybody read, the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord. My friend, this girl, this family will never ever experience the sufficiency of God until they move out in obedience through faith. There are certain things in your life you will never know what God can do until you obey Him. And many of us do not know God. You know why? You know Him in the head. But you never know Him experientially. Why? What's the missing link? This is the missing link. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You see, God gives you a condition. To experience God's sufficiency, here is the conditional promise of God. Seek first. The word seek first is a command. Number two, it is in the present tense, meaning continuously put God first. He must have first priority. Seek first His kingdom. What is the meaning of His kingdom? His kingdom simply means the lordship of Jesus. In any kingdom, you have a king and you have subjects. You have a king and you have followers. Without a king and followers, there's no kingdom. Understand? So the kingdom of God is described in the New Testament 150 times. Over 130 times by Jesus in the gospel. What Jesus is saying is simply this. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is when Jesus becomes king in your heart, in your life. That's why the kingdom of God is described two ways. One is in your heart. The other one, it's coming again, it's future. When Jesus will come again and reign, literally. But the kingdom of God is not about geography. It's not about realm. It's about His lordship. Question. Is Jesus your king? If He's your king, that's His kingdom. He's my king. Is Jesus king of your family? Is Jesus king of your business? Is Jesus king of your entire life? That's the meaning. Seek first His kingdom. Jesus has become my king. Therefore, my daily agenda is, Lord, what is your will? Because my role is to obey the king. Seek first His kingdom. You be concerned with His agenda. And His agenda is to tell people to recognize Him as King. You see, today in the Philippines, there are many people who go to church. But Jesus is not their King. They have religion. They may think of Jesus as their Savior, but they have never surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Jesus. The kingdom of God simply means you recognize Jesus as your King. And my job is to tell people that Jesus is King. Commit your life to Him. This week alone, I had the opportunity to sit beside somebody on the airplane. I just came from Taipei Friday night. I shared with this person beside me, I said, God loves you very much. I said, we sat together, not by accident. I said, God loves you so much, He told me to give you a message. And I shared the gospel. My friend, seek first His kingdom. That's my job. What is God's job? Provide for all of my needs. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. What is His righteousness? What does it mean? And His righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. What is His righteousness? His righteousness is the way He wants you to live. The righteousness of God is given to us. We are declared not guilty. Are you clear? We are declared not guilty. Righteousness has to do with your relationship with God. You live a life that's pleasing to God. His righteousness. He's happy with your life. Positionally, when you come to Christ, all your sins are forgiven. But experientially, you need to live it out. You need to practice. You need to seek His righteousness, meaning you need to do what He wants you to do with your life. That is the meaning of this promise. Seek first His kingdom, His agenda, His righteousness. You must live righteously. Live in accordance with His will. That's putting Him first. And that's what we did. You won't believe this. This week, I got a group of people, and we had a Bible study in Taipei. We were in this hotel. We asked for a room, and they gave us a room downstairs. We were having Bible study. Do you understand? We arranged the chair. But after we arranged all the chairs, somebody came and told us, sorry, you cannot meet here. You need to go back up. Now, you got to remember, we just came from upstairs looking for a Bible study room. And the manager said, you go down. And after fixing the chair down, they told us, excuse me, you need to go back up. And I was thinking, what in the world are these guys doing? But then I remembered, we are representing Jesus. How can a Bible teacher get angry? So we all reminded ourselves, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are representative of Christ. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So we all smiled, okay, in my heart. Labo, labo, nito. But, okay, what's my point? Put God first in everything you do with your family. What's His promise? And all of these things will be added unto you. Can I tell you in my own life? Years ago, my faith was in money. You have to understand our past. Coming from our family, my confidence was in money. My father owns the largest textile company in the Philippines at that time. We have 5,000 workers. My faith was in the business. And then God did something. You know what God did? I got kicked out of our own company. Our company was taken over. It was martial law. And I was thinking, how can that be? And I was telling God what to do. I gave God 3 options. Understand? Lord, for me to glorify Your name so I can teach the Bible effectively. Option 1. Option 2. Option 3. Comprende, Lord? You know, God did not listen to any of my prayer requests. He took them all away. Then I discovered why. I discovered when God takes away certain things, it's because He wants my hand to be what? Ready to receive something better. God took those things away and He gave me something better. Honestly, as I look back, the best thing that ever happened to us, to my family, is when I became jobless and God gave us another business. Do you realize you can never outdo, outperform God? Do you realize there are many pastors in CCF today, they're like me, self-supporting? We don't receive a single cent from CCF. But you know why God has blessed many of us? My favorite verse, Matthew 6:33. Let's read it together. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. What are all of these things? Food, clothing, shelter. Is God good? Yes, of course God is good. Question. How will you know God can provide? You will never know until you obey Him 100%. Most of us cut corners. Most of us cheat. You are not able to experience God's sufficiency. You know why? Because you are afraid to trust Him. You are always worried. You want to take shortcuts. I'm telling you today, God's word, He promises and He keeps the promises because God is faithful. Amen? So my friend, is God telling you to do something today? Some of you need to give up whatever you are doing. Some of you need to surrender. You're always worried. Let me tell you something. As I close, let's read this together. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, 2 days you should never worry. Number one, don't worry about tomorrow. Number two, don't worry about yesterday. You try worrying about yesterday. You try. Okay, worry. Can you change yesterday? All the stupid mistakes I've made, I've made. I cannot change it. Tomorrow, can I control tomorrow? No. Today is my time with the Lord. Amen? So don't worry. You know why? God is in control. How many of you have heard of J.C. Penney? J.C. Penney. Have you heard of J.C. Penney? His father was a pastor. Let me close with his amazing story. He put up a store called the Golden Rule Store. Golden Rule Store. God prospered him. He kept putting up different branches. From a poor family, J.C. Penney, he became so successful. In the 1920s, he had over 500 J.C. Penney stores. And then the crash came, the financial crisis in the States. He began to worry. He began to get sick. They rushed him to the hospital. You know why? He was dying. There was no cure. The doctor couldn't find out what's wrong with him until he heard a song. That song I want you to hear. The song that cured him.
God will take care of you.
He heard this song.
Beneath His wings above, abide. God will take care of you.
Let's sing together.
God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care.
Now I wanted to sing the next stanza together. Ready? Together.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day.
Jesse Penney heard this song in a hospital chapel. God spoke to him. God said, "Why are you always worrying? I will take care of you." When he heard this song, miraculously, he got healed. Jesse Penney began amazing philanthropic work for the Lord, because he knew God is his Father. Friends, some of you are worried today. I don't know what you're worried about. I have one message for you. Do not worry. God will take care of you. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Some of you are always anxious. God tells us, do not be anxious. In everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving. Have you surrendered your worries to the Lord? I like us to bow our heads, and I like you to speak to the Lord. If you are worried today, why don't you cast your burden to the Lord? Tell Him. Between you and the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm anxious for this, I'm anxious for that, whatever it is. What are you worried about? Is it money? Is it family members? Is it your health? Give it to Jesus. Tell Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Thank Him for the problem. Thank Him for the solution in advance. In everything, thank Him. As your heads are bowed down, there may be some of you here. There just may be some of you here. You're saying, Peter, I'm not sure if God is my Father. I have religion. I know there's a God, but I don't really know if He's my Father. I don't really know if He loves me. Today, I want to experience His love. You want to experience God's love? You want to experience God being your Father? Will you raise your hands? I'll pray for you. Higher. If that's your desire, higher. I want you to pray this prayer with me, okay? If you want to experience God as your Father, you need to pray humbly. With your hands raised up, you pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I have never surrendered my life to you. I always wanted to be in control. I don't even know if God is my Father. But I know there is a God. But I don't know if He's my Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I receive you. By faith, I surrender my life to you. I accept your gift of forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And now, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you all my worries, all my anxieties. I cast them upon you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you.